Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Bothell Hell House. I've talked to countless individuals, families, and investigators about their haunting encounters, and quite honestly, the story of the Bothell Hell House is one of the most terrifying I've ever heard. I can't recall a case where so many dark and seemingly demonic signs and actions were taken against the living with such force and hate. This is truly a stunning case about pure evil and its desire to wreak havoc on the lives of the living. In 2012, Keith Linder and his girlfriend moved into what seemed like any other normal house in the Seattle suburb of Bothell. The phenomena they witnessed and fell victim to was truly horrific. Dark and overwhelming interactions with unexplained forces would change their lives forever and leave many in the paranormal community perplexed and questioning how such extremes could happen to one family alone. This is their true story. The story of Keith Linder and the Bothell Hell House.
Me and my girlfriend found this house probably February, March of 2012 on Craigslist. And I emailed the homeowner. It was a rental. And he told us the house was still being lived in, but he put it out there because there's going to be a vacancy in May. He contacted us again about April, and we came in 2 weeks after that to view the house, look at the house, me and my girlfriend, and we qualified, and we moved in May 1st of 2012.
When you saw the house for the first time, did you get a chance to tour it? Did you get a chance to see it before you actually moved in, or how did that happen?
Yeah, he gave us a two-story house, so he gave us a tour of upstairs, downstairs. New house. I mean, the house was built in 2005. The neighborhood it sits in was built in 2005. It was one of those houses you just have to fall in love with the minute you see it. And yeah, he gave us a tour. It was empty. It was moved out. And within about 2 weeks, we moved in.
So to anybody, it would just feel like a normal, you know, fairly modern, fairly new house. Is that what the vibe you were getting?
Yeah, new house, new neighborhood. I mean, it was almost cookie cut cliche. The kids are outside on tricycles playing hopscotch, and you got this nice house. And we have no kids, we have no pets. It's a fairly big house. I think it's 4 bedrooms, 2.5 bath. And we both liked it, we both got excited about it. And yeah, when he told us that he would like for us to live there, yeah, we were ecstatic.
So nothing feeling weird about this at all. It was a happy time. It was, hey, we're getting this house. This is going to be great. Nice neighborhood, nice house, nice people, all that. Nothing weird.
Yeah, no vibe, no weird energy, no, hey, a door just slammed downstairs or something to make us be like, what? But no, totally, I mean, the ghosts per se were just shutting up at that time.
Yeah, not even on the radar of what you were thinking. So you get into the house, you move in. How is life? What transpires at the beginning?
Well, interesting enough, what transpired happened on the day we got the keys to the house. We haven't even moved in yet. May 1st, we come in to sign the papers, and the homeowner gives us the keys, shows us the house again, tells us the lay of the land, and then he leaves. So now it's just me and my girlfriend in this empty house. And we've never been in the house by ourselves before, so we're once again excited. But we're sitting down on the carpet in the living room talking about which room is going to be used for what. And just out of the blue, in the middle of our conversation, we hear a kid cough. And it was very weird. It echoed. The house is empty. There's no lights or power on, so things can pretty much bounce off any wall it wants to. And it was very real because Tina looked at me, I looked at her, and we both said at the same exact time, I kid you not, was that a kid cough? And it sounded like, I mean, it should sound like it was a kid in a room somewhere. That's how real it sounded. I mean, you would almost want to stop what you're doing and go investigate because you would think, oh, somebody's here. But we didn't do that. We just shrugged it off because that noise had to have come from outside, even though it felt very close to us. So we shrugged it off. A week or two later, we're moving in and just started noticing objects missing. My first set of car keys disappeared. These are my spare keys that I had tucked away in a glove compartment box. And Tina started noticing her jewelry. And she would come ask me, hey, have you seen this? Have you seen that? I would say no. And then we both started noticing at the same time our silverware. I mean, we constantly were finding ourselves looking for silverware in the morning or night when we have dinner. And it seems like our supply of fork, knives, and spoons were lessening. So that was kind of interesting. But once again, we're not connecting the dots. We're just thinking, because we've only been in the house a short period of time, things get lost during the move. You know, things just get lost. And maybe over time, they would just start reappearing, you know, like normal moving things normally reappear. But then about 2 months in, we're watching TV, me and Tina in the living room, or the den, I should say. And Tina has this plant, it's like a 4 foot tall plant that stands next to the entertainment center, stands on the floor. And as we're watching Netflix, all of a sudden this plant rises up into the air, darts up into the air, and does a 360 degree spin, and then keels over and falls to the floor. And we're looking at the TV, so you can't miss it. I mean, it's sitting right next to the television. And we saw it at the same time. And me and Tina looked at each other again, and we, like, had that look of, did that just happen? And I kid you not, we really thought we were being pranked or punked or fooled, or this is a tenant's teenage son or daughter who's pranking the new tenants. We really thought somebody was really having a good time at our expense. So we rushed over to the plant looking for a remote control device, wire, string, anything that would be like, aha, okay, fun is over. And we didn't find none of that. And we looked at each other again, and that's when it rung a bell in our heads of, I think we have a ghost here.
And what was your thought process at that point? I mean, what was your thoughts on ghosts at that point? That should really be the first question. Did you believe in ghosts? What was going through your mind?
I was always 50-50. I mean, I know ghost stories. I've never had the experience prior to this house. I like a good scary story every now and then, like everybody else. My thought process then and there was, okay, if we have a ghost, it obviously has to be friendly because look what's happened so far. Because me and Tina immediately went back to the kid cough and the items missing. And keep in mind, we're also now at this stage, items are appearing in the house that neither one of us own. So we're having kid toys disappear out of nowhere, or you wake up in the morning, come downstairs, there's a kid toy on the staircase, coffee table, kitchen countertop. So we're starting to think, okay, we have a kid ghost. This is a friendly ghost. That's the only ghost I know at the time. And it was just weird. And we went to the internet. I mean, we have no experience with ghosts, what to do if you have one. So we just start Googling kid ghosts. What does that mean? And the internet tells you various things. Oh, kid spirits are friendly. They're lost. They're confused. Maybe a kid died in the house. Maybe a kid died on the street outside or whatever. And you have to be nice to them, be friendly, and try to help them into the light. And that's the advice we were getting from the internet, and by internet, I mean paranormal sites.
Sure. And so you're thinking, you know, if anything, this is just, it's like a child, like a living child. You want to be helpful. You're the adult. You're trying to help whatever this is, or this kid, get to wherever it's going. What transpired after that?
Well, we tried, like you said, Tina is a mother. Her kids are grown. They live elsewhere. But we tried to do the parenting thing with the kid. Or with the child, and everything we tried seemed to have a negative effect. And by negative effect, I mean we would talk in the direction we thought the spirit was, like, hey, you know, this is Keith and Tina's home, you're sort of welcome here, but you know, you need to go into the light, follow the light. Is there anything you want? Why are you here? And then the response would be a loud bang, like boom, boom, boom. And you cannot pinpoint the direction this bang came from, except it came from within the house. And you were like, oh, okay, that's not the response we were promised from reading on the internet. Okay, maybe we're doing this wrong. So we would try again in different parts of the house. And the response would always be loud bangs. So now, one night, I think Tina was upstairs, I was downstairs, and she was watching TV in bed, and I hear this loud bang, but this time it's not the spirit, it's the door slam to the master bedroom. I rush upstairs, and Tina's all frantic. She's like, that door just slammed on its own. That door just slammed on its own. Oh my God, I was in bed, and that door just slammed. And that point on is when more door slams, more loud bangs, and then pottery. I mean, we're talking pottery like flower plants. All of Tina's just started flying left and right in the house. And I look at Tina and I'm like, I don't think this is a kid ghost. But what else can you do? I mean, we went back to the internet, start talking to family and friends, and the advice is pretty much the same. Well, get the house blessed. We did that. Try to do some research on the house, the property. We did that. See if anybody died in the house. And then the ultimate of smudging and saging, which I might tell you had a grossly negative effect, because the activity would just escalate. I mean, by escalate, the objects that were being thrown were now larger. We're going from pottery to bar stool, to iron and ironing board. And keep in mind, the iron and ironing board are being thrown while you're asleep. I mean, you're sleeping and you got an iron or ironing board at the foot of the bed or whatever in the room, and you hear this loud crash. You wake up, turn the lights on, your iron board was once over here, it's now over there. That was pretty unnerving.
I mean, how are you guys handling this at that point? I mean, this is almost kind of getting, even if these things are not being thrown directly at you, I mean, the thought's got to be going through your mind that there's a physical danger here, possibly.
Yeah, and that's when the iron and iron board, when objects start being thrown within our vicinity, like they're thrown to get our attention as well as to unnerve us. Keep in mind, we had a interesting housewarming party 2 to 3 months after we moved in, and we had friends over, and they start seeing objects thrown. Tina's friends, when the party was over, stayed behind and helped us clean up, and they saw plants fly left to right. So yeah, we were started to equate that I don't think this spirit, number one, is friendly. I don't think it likes us being here. But we maintain a calm demeanor, me and Tina. We were frantic when the activity broke out, especially while sleeping. But at the same time, we would rush to the situation and discern it and say, there's got to be a logical explanation to mitigate to where we lessen the activity.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.